Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The old bar had been part of the town for so long that almost everyone had a story about it. The brick building had gone up sometime in the 1870s, back when the first floor operated as a saloon and restaurant, and the upper floors rented rooms to travelers passing through town. Over the years, those rooms developed a reputation of their own. Some people insisted part of the upstairs had once been used as a brothel, although no one seemed certain how much of that was documented history and how much had simply become part of the local folklore. During Prohibition, the saloon officially became a restaurant, but according to nearly every version of the story, alcohol never actually stopped flowing. Bottles were supposedly carried through brick tunnels beneath the building, some connecting to neighboring businesses and others ending in basements that had long since been filled in or sealed. There had also been a fire around the turn of the century. Accounts differed on exactly how serious it had been and whether anyone had died. One version claimed two hotel guests had been trapped upstairs. Another insisted everyone escaped and the deaths had been added to the story years later. The haunting was treated with about the same amount of certainty. People talked about a woman walking the upper hallway, footsteps in rooms that had been closed for decades, music heard beneath the floor after the restaurant shut down, and the smell of smoke appearing when nothing was burning. Everyone seemed to know someone who had worked there and experienced something strange. She had heard those stories since she was a teenager and had also been inside the place dozens of times. Her parents had taken the family there for dinner when she was younger, and after she turned 21, she occasionally met friends at the bar. The building was interesting, but she had never found it frightening. Even the stories about ghosts seemed like part of the atmosphere, no different from the old photographs on the walls or the stories about bootleg liquor moving through the basement. She had never once thought about working there. That changed one Friday evening when she met a friend for drinks after work. They were sitting near the end of the bar when she noticed a handwritten sign taped beside the register. Bartender wanted. She read it, looked away, and continued the conversation, but a few minutes later she looked at it again. There was nothing unusual about the sign. Restaurants were always hiring, and she already had a full-time office job that paid her bills. She had bartended through college and for a few years afterward, but she had left that work behind without any real desire to return. Still, before they left, she asked the bartender whether the position was evenings only. He told her they needed someone two or three nights a week and occasional weekends. She nodded, thanked him, and went home. By the following morning, she was still thinking about the job. She told herself it was the extra money. Then she decided she simply missed bartending more than she realized. By Sunday, she had mentally rearranged her work schedule to see whether she could make the hours fit, even though she had not filled out an application. What bothered her was how often she found herself thinking about the building itself. She pictured the old bar, the dark woodwork, and the staircase near the back of the dining room that led to the former hotel rooms upstairs. Customers were not allowed beyond the rope stretched across the bottom step, but she had looked up that staircase many times over the years without thinking much about what remained above. Now she kept wondering. By Monday afternoon, she stopped at the restaurant on her way home and filled out an application. She was hired later that week. Her first shifts were too busy for anything paranormal to matter. She had to relearn the rhythm of working behind a bar, memorize the restaurant's specialty drinks, and become familiar with customers who seemed to have been sitting on the same stools every Friday night for 20 years. The staff was a mixture of college students, longtime servers, and bartenders who knew half the town by name. Most of them treated the building's reputation the same way everyone else did. They did not deny the stories, but they rarely made a production out of them. And in fact, the first time she asked whether anyone had actually experienced something there, one of the bartenders simply told her she would eventually hear something upstairs. He said it with so little concern that she laughed. He did not. Within a few weeks, she understood why. The upper floors were no longer used for guests, but several of the old hotel rooms had become storage areas. Extra linens, seasonal decorations, unopened boxes of glassware, and years of paperwork-filled rooms that still had their original doors and numbers. Late in the evening, after the restaurant quieted, footsteps sometimes crossed the hallway above the bar. They were not constant. Some nights, she heard nothing at all. Other nights, several slow steps moved from one end of the second floor to the other, followed by silence. No one rushed upstairs to investigate because the employees had apparently learned years earlier that there was usually nothing to find. Her first trip upstairs happened about a month after she started. The manager needed extra tablecloths for a private party and asked her to bring down a stack from one of the storage rooms. She had been upstairs once during training, but only briefly and with another employee. This time, she went alone. The hallway felt narrower than she remembered. Most of the carpeting had been removed, leaving worn wooden floors beneath a row of old room doors. Some had newer locks, while others appeared not to have been opened in years. She found the storage room and began gathering the tablecloths when she heard someone walking toward her. The footsteps were lighter than those she usually heard from downstairs, accompanied by a sharp tapping sound against the wood. She assumed another server had come up behind her and stepped partly into the hallway to make room, but no one was there. The footsteps continued anyway, moving slowly toward her until she instinctively backed into the storage room. The sound reached the doorway, paused, and then stopped completely. For several seconds, she stood holding the linens against her chest and listening to the empty hallway. She was about to leave when one of the doors farther down the corridor slowly swung inward, revealing only darkness beyond it. She knew enough about the building's reputation to recognize what people would say had happened, but knowing the stories did not make standing there any easier. She gathered the remaining tablecloths and headed downstairs. When she reached the bar, one of the longtime employees took one look at her and asked which room had opened. She told him, and he nodded as though she had confirmed something he already knew. Apparently, that door had been opening by itself for years. Later that night, while wiping down the bar, she caught herself looking toward the staircase. She had spent years hearing that the old place was haunted and had never given it much thought. Now she worked there, and for the first time, she began wondering why she had wanted the job so badly. After that night, the building felt different to her. The restaurant itself had not changed. The same regulars filled the bar, the kitchen stayed busy until closing, and the staff continued treating strange sounds upstairs as though they were simply part of working in a building nearly 150 years old. But she could no longer hear footsteps above her without picturing the empty hallway and the hotel door slowly opening into darkness. She also began noticing how many unwritten rules the employees seemed to have. No one liked being the last person upstairs, and if two people needed something from storage, they usually went together without discussing why. One server refused to use the old back staircase after hearing someone follow her down it one night, even though no one else had been upstairs. The basement had its own stories. She had been down there several times for supplies, but usually during busy shifts when people were constantly moving between the kitchen and storage areas. It was larger than she expected, with low ceilings, exposed pipes, and brick walls that appeared much older than some of the rooms above them. Cases of liquor lined newer shelving, while old restaurant equipment occupied corners that probably had not been cleared in decades. At the far end was one of the sealed tunnel entrances. The opening had been bricked over years earlier, although the outline of the original passage remained obvious. According to local history, the tunnel once ran beneath the street and connected with another business during Prohibition, allowing liquor to be moved without anyone carrying bottles through the front door. Her first strange experience in the basement happened late on a Wednesday night. The restaurant had closed, and she went downstairs to bring up two bottles needed to restock the bar. Halfway across the room, she heard voices. At first, she assumed co-workers had come downstairs through another entrance. The sound seemed to be several men talking at once, low and indistinct, with occasional bursts of laughter. She could not understand any words, but as she moved toward the far end of the basement, the voices became clearer. Then came the unmistakable clink of glass. She stopped near the sealed tunnel. For several seconds, it sounded as though a crowded room existed somewhere behind the brick wall. Beneath the conversation, she could even make out something faint that might have been music. The moment she stepped closer, everything stopped. The basement became so quiet that she could hear the refrigeration equipment humming behind her. She grabbed the bottles and went upstairs. When she mentioned what she had heard, one of the longtime bartenders was not surprised. Employees occasionally heard what they called the basement crowd, usually after closing. Some believed it was connected to the speakeasy years, while others blamed sound traveling through pipes or neighboring buildings. Then he told her that if she ever heard knocking from behind the sealed tunnel, she should ignore it. Apparently, several employees had reported 3 or 4 slow knocks from the other side of the brick. No one knew what caused them, but an old rule had been passed from one employee to the next for years. Never knock back. He admitted he had no idea what would happen if someone did. Nobody he knew had been willing to find out. That unsettled her more than any elaborate ghost story could have. Over the next few weeks, she heard the voices twice more. Each time they came from the same section of basement and disappeared when she approached the tunnel, she never heard the knocking. Upstairs, the woman in heels continued walking the old hotel hallway. By then, the footsteps had become familiar enough that she no longer stopped what she was doing every time she heard them. Some nights, they crossed above the bar while customers were still eating dinner. Other nights, they waited until the building was almost empty. Then the smell of smoke started. The first time, she was carrying glasses toward the kitchen when the odor became strong enough that she immediately looked for something burning. The kitchen was fine, and within several minutes, the smell disappeared. A week later, she noticed it again near the staircase after the kitchen had already closed. This was not cigarette smoke or scorched food. It smelled like old wood and fabric burning somewhere out of sight. One of the servers noticed her searching for the source and explained that it happened occasionally, especially near the stairs and on the second floor. The smoke detectors never reacted, and no one had ever found an actual fire. Most employees connected it to the building's old fire, although even they disagreed about whether anyone had died. That was when she began to understand why no one tried very hard to decide exactly what haunted the place. There seemed to be too much activity for one explanation. The footsteps upstairs felt different from the voices beneath the floor. The basement sounds had nothing obvious to do with the smell of smoke, and even the hotel activity changed from night to night. The building did not feel occupied by one presence. It felt crowded. One Saturday night, she stayed late helping another bartender close. The restaurant had been empty for nearly half an hour when she caught movement near the staircase, and looked up. A woman stood on the landing. She appeared completely solid, wearing a long, dark skirt and a light blouse with her hair pinned behind her head. One hand rested on the railing as she looked down toward the bar. For an instant, the bartender assumed a customer had somehow gone upstairs. She started to tell the woman that the second floor was closed, but before she could finish, the woman turned and disappeared down the hallway. She called to her co-worker, and they went upstairs together. The corridor was empty. Every storage room was closed or locked, including the door that had opened during her first month on the job. There was nowhere the woman could have gone without passing them on the staircase. When they returned downstairs, her co-worker asked what she had seen. After hearing the description, he told her that several employees had reported a similar woman over the years, usually near the landing or farther down the old hotel hallway. That night, she drove home thinking about the help wanted sign. She remembered how quickly the idea of working there had taken hold of her, and how often she had pictured that staircase before she ever filled out an application. For the first time, she wondered whether she had been the only one interested in getting her into the building. After seeing the woman on the landing, she stopped pretending that everything in the building could be explained by age, plumbing, or sounds traveling through old walls. She still did not know what she believed about ghosts in general, but she knew she had seen someone standing at the top of the staircase and had followed her into an empty hallway. Strangely, that did not make her want to quit. If anything, she became more curious about the building. She listened more closely when longtime employees talked about experiences from years earlier and began noticing how many of their stories overlapped. The woman upstairs had been seen by several people. The voices in the basement had been heard by employees who had never spoken to one another about them beforehand. Even the smell of smoke appeared often enough that people usually checked the kitchen out of habit before deciding It was simply happening again. No one had ever managed to connect all of it to one event or one person. A few months later, she was working a slow weeknight when a storm moved through town shortly before closing. Heavy rain kept most customers home, and by 10 o'clock, only a few tables remained. Once they left, the manager sent most of the staff home early and asked her to finish the bar while he completed paperwork in the office. The building was quieter than she had ever heard it. She was restocking glasses when footsteps began upstairs, and at first she barely reacted. The woman in heels had become familiar enough that she could usually recognize the sound without looking toward the staircase. These footsteps were heavier. They crossed the upper hallway slowly, followed by another set moving in the opposite direction. For several seconds, it sounded as though more than one person was walking through the former hotel. Before she could decide what to make of it, conversation drifted up through the floor beneath her. The basement crowd had started. Low voices blended with laughter and the occasional clink of glass, growing loud enough that she could hear them clearly from behind the bar. She glanced toward the manager's office, wondering whether he had noticed, but his door remained closed. As she listened, faint music joined the voices below, clearer than anything she had heard from the basement before. For a moment, the restaurant no longer sounded empty. Footsteps moved overhead, while conversation and music filled the space beneath her, creating the unsettling impression that two different versions of the building were operating around her at the same time. And then she smelled smoke. The odor came suddenly and strongly enough that she abandoned the bar and checked the kitchen. Everything was off, nothing had burned, and no alarm was sounding. When she returned to the dining room, a faint haze seemed to hang near the staircase, although she could not tell whether she was actually seeing smoke or simply expecting it because of the smell. The footsteps upstairs stopped, but the voices beneath her continued. Then three slow knocks came from somewhere below the floor, followed after a short pause by three more. She knew immediately where they were coming from. The sealed tunnel. For the first time since she began working there, she understood why employees had passed down that strange warning for so many years. Standing in the nearly empty restaurant while something knocked from behind a brick wall in the basement, she had absolutely no desire to answer. She stayed where she was, and after several seconds, the basement voices stopped. The silence arrived so abruptly that it felt almost physical. The music disappeared, the laughter was gone, and even the smell of smoke began fading from the room. Then she heard heels on the staircase. This time they were not moving across the floor above her. They were coming down. She turned toward the back of the restaurant and listened as the steps descended slowly toward the landing, visible from the bar. She expected the woman to appear at any moment, but no one came into view. The footsteps continued down the remaining stairs and stopped somewhere near the bottom. For several seconds, she felt certain someone was standing just beyond where she could see. Then the sensation passed. The manager emerged from his office a few minutes later and immediately noticed her expression. She told him what had happened, expecting at least some surprise, but his first question was whether she had knocked back. When she told him she had not, he nodded and said that was probably for the best. He had worked in the building for nearly 20 years and had experienced enough himself that he no longer tried to understand every sound or apparition. Some nights were simply more active than others. Employees had theories about weather, anniversaries, renovations, and even crowded weekends, but none of those explanations held up consistently. The building had accumulated too much history. People had slept upstairs, worked downstairs, drank illegally beneath the floor, fallen in love there, fought there, celebrated there, and possibly died there. Whatever remained seemed to belong to different eras that occasionally brushed against the present. She continued working at the bar for several years and eventually became one of the employees who could tell from a new bartender's expression that they had just heard the footsteps upstairs for the first time. She stopped rushing toward every unexplained noise and learned which doors sometimes opened, where the smoke smell appeared most often, and which corner of the basement could suddenly sound as though a party were happening beyond the wall. She never knocked on the bricks, and she never learned who the woman on the staircase had been. Every so often, usually late at night, she still thought about the help wanted sign that had caught her attention years earlier. She had never needed that job, had not been searching for one, and could never quite explain why she had been unable to stop thinking about it until she applied. Maybe it had been nothing more than curiosity. Or maybe in a building where so many people seemed reluctant to leave, someone had simply wanted another person around who was willing to listen.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.